Thank you, ladies. Thank you for the good music program tonight. Blessing to our hearts, everyone. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you'll take your Bible and look there. One verse for our text verse tonight. I want to preach on the subject, things that Christians must experience. Things that born-again believers, saved folks, Christians, things that Christians must experience. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but as is common to man. But God is faithful, of that ye are able. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. What are some things that born-again believers must experience? I can tell you tonight, and our text verse bears this out, that all believers, all saved people, will not be spared temptation. Amen. You're going to face temptation. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that you're not going to be tempted anymore. And I know some of our Nazarene friends have sort of overshot heaven, but you're not going to come to sinless perfection in this life. You're not going to do it. That's not to encourage you to sin. It's to help you understand what's going on when the devil is tempting you and know that you can overcome it. The scriptures say that, but it says expect it. Some of you are being tempted right now, right this very second. You're thinking about something to eat instead of what I'm preaching. You know, the devil's tempting you. We have an enemy, don't we? By the way, your enemy is not the person sitting beside you, or the one up here, or the one behind you, the one in front of you. The enemy is the devil. If we'd ever get that right, we could cure a lot of home problems, amen? The enemy is the devil. And so we know that he's going to work on us. He never stops. I wish I could say to you tonight that we come to a place that all of us never be tempted. I wish I could say now when you get to 60, you're not tempted as much, and 70, even less, and 80, even less. And I may say that the areas of temptation might change, but I can tell you the devil's going to work on you one way or the other. He's never going to let up. He's never going to quit. Temptation is going to come. You can expect it. But the Bible says, God will not let us be tempted above what we're able. And he says that with every temptation we have, and whether we take it or not, it's up to us, with every temptation we have, there's a way of escape. If we're tempted to be depressed, there's a way of escape. If we're tempted to be proud, there's a way of escape. If we're tempted with sexual sin, there's a way of escape. If we're tempted to not have faith, there's a way of escape. If we're tempted to do things that the devil wants us to do, God says there is a way of escape. But you as a faithful Christian are not going to, just because you're trying to live right, you're not going to escape temptation. You might be tempted in your old age to have self-pity. And that type thing, my wife said, I said too much about my aches and pains this morning, you know, but I'm trying to get a little pity from you know. If we're not careful, we'll be tempted to want everybody to just pity us and all that. Listen, temptation comes in various forms and all kinds of things, but we need to know who's behind it. We need to know. We don't have to fool around with it and listen to it. We do not have to yield to temptation. And we can't ever say the devil made me do it, because God says he can. If we do it, it's because of our own choosing. The second thing is this, that an aggressive Christian, somebody like Peter, is not going to be spared some doubt once in a while. Amen. I like an aggressive Christian. I like people who want to get something done and trust God to get it done. But even Peter, as much as we admire him, Matthew reminds us that whenever Peter got out of the boat, chapter 14 there, that Peter sank. that Peter, the man of great faith, and the man who was willing to get out of the boat, the man who was willing to try something for God, had a little time there where he had some doubt. But you know what? God didn't let him drown just because of that. God lifted him up. Amen. Jesus said, "Peter, you did a whole lot more than the rest of them in the boat. Don't feel bad about it. You at least got out and tried it. You went down for a little while, but I lifted you up. But I admire you. I respect you for trying something, getting out and doing something for me, letting me know that you're at least an aggressive type Christian." Peter made some mistakes, but you know why? He was always trying to do something. If you don't want anybody to criticize you, let me tell you how to do it. Don't do anything. Don't do anything. If you're trying to do something, you can be sure. I think it was Brother Temp was saying something in our meeting the other night. He said, if you're a leader, something like this, not exactly, but if you're a leader, you can be sure of one thing. You might get some recognition, but you're also going to get some criticism. But that's all right. Step out of the boat, get out there and try to do something for the glory of God, and let God handle it. We need as a church to be the same way. Aggressive Christians will not be spared some doubt once in a while, but get up and go on and do what God wants you to do. A third thing is, the disobedient Christian will not be spared chastisement. Amen. The disobedient Christian will not be spared the chastening hand of God. Why do we think we are the exception to the rule? We look at other people and we say, don't do that. You know, God will spank you. Don't do that. You know better than that. Don't do that. Why in the world do we ever think we're the exception? I'm God's pet. I've known a few preachers, I guess, that thought because they preached and they told everybody else what not to do, that they were the exception to their own rules, and they went ahead and did it themselves. Running around with other women, committing adultery, misusing and abusing the funds of the church, all those different kinds of things. Now let me tell you, the vast majority of them don't do that, so don't be too hard on preachers, but there are some who think, I guess, I'm the exception to the rule. There are no exceptions to the rule. If you're a believer, if you're saved, if you're a child of God, and you disobey God, and you don't confess it right away and get it right, I don't care who you are, you can think you're the exception. You will not be. God will take his heavenly, holy razor strap down from the wall in heaven and wear your backside out because he loves you, and you're not going to get away with sin. You say, well, I've been doing it for a long time and been getting away with it, and nothing bad, tragic has happened. Friend, the last chapter has not been written. God's wheel of judgment may grind slowly, but it grinds surely, and it's going to get there. And I tell you that because I love you. You think you're going to be the exception? Let me tell you, you will not be. Not one saint of God, not one great patriarch got away with sin. David, a man after God's own heart, didn't get away with it. And on and on and on. Neither will you, neither will I. The disobedient Christian will not be spared chastisement. As many as I love, those I chasten, God says. Amen. And I'm glad it's because he loves us that he spanks us. Yes. We live in a society today, if you spank your child, you might go to jail. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If I think my grandchild needs a whack on the rear end, I'm going to give it to him. If people out there in public don't like it, they can throw me in jail. Some of you are looking awful mean at me there. Especially my daughter-in-law. No, where is she? No. But you see, God does that, and so do parents, because you love your child. You want to have a rebel, just let them go their own way and believe that bunch of baloney Dr. Spock said years ago and reneged on himself, and just let them go. Let them stand in a classroom and gaze at goldfish if that's all they want to do. Don't make them do any work and all that tommy rot and baloney. Don't do all of that. But let me tell you something. That's unwise. But God loves us, and sometimes he's going to give us a spanking. And if we don't do right, the disobedient Christian will not be spared chastisement. Then the best Christian will not be spared sorrow. The best Christian
the very best will not be spared sorrow. I just finished reading through Psalms again. Now I've gone to the book of Job. I wanted to read through it. I always get a little nervous when God leads me to read through the book of Job again. I'm thinking, is he setting me up for what's coming down the pike? But if he is, that's fine. That's a wonderful book. I remember one time going through some trials, and I went in my office in Indiana, going through some pretty deep trials, and I just grabbed my Bible and threw it down on the desk and on my desk, and I said, I just sat down and just almost, and I said, I don't know anything else, I'm just going to read the Bible. I threw the Bible open, threw it to the book of Job, and I read through the whole book of Job. When I got through, I was on my knees weeping. But the very best Christians in the world, I don't care how close you live to God, you're not going to be spared some sorrow. Amen. It's just part of it. It comes. Why? Because of sin. I hear Christians sometimes say, I hear maybe men say, well, I don't know why my wife had to go through that. She's a good person. Or a woman say, well, I don't know why my husband having to go through that. He's a good man. That's not the issue, friend. Sin is sin. And sin has impacted and affected the whole world. And because of sin, we're all going to have some sorrows. There will be some tears. And we're no exception to the rule. Most of us here have gone through some sorrows. We've lost loved ones. We've had people break our hearts. We've had things to come in our lives we didn't want. We've gotten bad news from the doctor. We've had sorrows. We have sorrows tonight. Many of you have sorrows tonight. As you sit right where you are, you have some sorrow. But listen, that doesn't mean God's mad at you. It doesn't mean you live deep in sin. Job's good buddies kept telling him, Eliphaz and Bildad and the others, they said, if you'd get your life straightened up, you wouldn't be having these problems. That is not necessarily the case. It can be, but it is not necessarily the case. But there are just some things in life that are going to come. You know, I'm a Baptist preacher, and I believe the Bible, and I want to try to live right for God, but I still have the flu, and some of you people give it to me. I have to shake your hands on the way out. Then I rush to my office and wash the fellowship off, but that's all right. You say, I'm no exception to the rule. Nobody else is. Nobody else is. We're going to have some sorrow. It's going to come. We all face that, and we have to expect it. And then the faithful Christian is not going to be spared persecution. I guarantee that. What the Bible says. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him but also to suffer for his sake. Amen. We don't know a whole lot about suffering in our country. We really don't. Somebody puts us down a little bit and we think, oh man, I'm suffering for Jesus. Let me tell you, you see some of these Christians right now while I'm talking, right now while I am in this nice sanctuary looking out at you who are my friends and my flock and my people, so on and so forth, in a good atmosphere and so on and so forth, over somewhere right now in some country, somebody right this minute is dying for the faith. It's so far removed from us, we can't quite get into that. But I'm telling you, we have brothers and sisters in Christ somewhere on planet Earth right now that are suffering and dying. Some are being kicked out of their families. Some are being ostracized by society. Why? Because they said, I reneged from everything else. I turned from everything. I turned to Jesus. I choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. There are Muslims around the world right now that are chopping the heads off of some Christians. And it's not a fairy tale, my dear friend. So if they're willing to pay that, and the martyrs who've brought us our church through the shedding of blood and the trail of blood down through these years, don't you think we could suffer a little bit and expect to be persecuted a little bit? And all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You say, well, preacher, I haven't been persecuted for 10, 15 years. I said, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's a message in that. There's a message in that. Young people, if they don't laugh at you at school, you're probably not the Christian you ought to be. Dad, if they don't sort of make fun of you down at the factory, you probably aren't the man of God you ought to be. Ladies, if you're not sort of the, not that you have to be mean as the devil and all of that, I'm not saying that, but if you're not different down at the office and they don't have a little bit of respect for you and think that you're a little different from the rest of the people and the rest of the world and maybe sometimes pass over you or make fun of you or treat you a little badly, it's because you're probably not living as dedicated a life as you should be. We was talking today, I don't know what brought up the conversation, something about it. And I said, I remember when I was working at ARE Manufacturing out there, talking about some hateful bosses, what you have to sometimes put up with. And I remember this guy coming to me. We had a number of students from the old Bible Baptist Seminary working out there, making air conditioners. I was the guy over the cabinet making department back there, the lead man, and this guy didn't like us. He could not stand us. I'll never forget him. I could draw you a picture. I'm a little short, arrogant, smart aleck. Boy, I didn't like him at all, let me tell you. And he'd come up to me and he'd pull out a bottle out of his back pocket. And it was, how many of you remember the old Vaseline hair tonic? Raise your hand. Hey, amen. Some of you use too much of it or something. It slicked your top off. But at any rate, Brother Riggs, you don't do that to me. I got to look over this way. But he'd come up to me and he had that thing in his pocket. And he'd pull it out and he'd say, what is that? What does that look like? I said, Vaseline hair tonic. He said, yeah. He said, it's vodka. You want some? He'd say, here, take some of this. Oh, you're a Christian. You're too good. You think you're too good to take it, don't you? I said, well, I'm a Christian. I don't do that. He was my boss. He was the whole guy over the whole factory at nighttime, over everything. And he'd press us and he'd cuss, give us a hard time. Man, we'd meet at break time, say, God kill him. I mean, God save him. God save him. Or do something, move him out or do something. So help me, the Lord moved him out. I've told you this story, some of you hadn't heard it. I like it, that's why I'm telling it again. And God moved him out. He got caught with a woman in his office at nighttime. They fired him on the spot. They sent a guy in about 6'4", remind me of John Wayne. He was a saved Baptist, and he liked preachers. Amen. And we could get away with murder, man, I'm telling you. But I'm telling you, it wasn't pleasant when he was doing it. I thought, he's going to fire me. I don't have a chance. But you know, it wasn't long until God took care of it. But he knew where I stood, and I wasn't about to change, I'll tell you that. I worked in sales work a little while one time, and I'd go to these big West Virginia pulp and paper company, huge places in Virginia and West Virginia and stuff like that. And I would go in and have to talk to the purchasing agent, some big shot in there, and a lot of times they'd have a cigar about that long and blow it in my face and all that. And then they'd say, now what's in it for me if I give you this big order? I said, well, what do you mean? I can give you a little discount. I can discount my part a little bit, but manufacturer's representative, I can't go so far. He said, no, I mean, are you going to get me a woman? Are you going to get me some whiskey? What are you going to do? I'm telling you the truth. And I said, no, sir, I can't do that. Well, why can't you? Blankety, 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 blank. All the other salesmen. I said, well, I'm not all the other salesmen, sir. I'd like to have your order, but you're not getting that from me. And I didn't get his order. By the way, this is honest truth. God changed that situation too. And later I got one of the biggest orders I ever had right there. Because God can do it. But I'm just saying, expect it. Don't be surprised if the world doesn't like you. They didn't like Jesus. They killed him. They crucified him. Amen? And we need to be crucified to self. The greatest of all Christians will not be spared death. Now, I said a lot about this morning, so I won't talk a lot about it tonight. But unless Christ comes in our lifetime, doesn't matter how great a Christian we are, we're going to die. The thing is, as I said this morning, be like that old farmer. Just keep on taking care of business like you're supposed to until Jesus calls you home. Don't worry about it. Live each day for the Lord. And if the Lord comes before we die, hallelujah. But if he doesn't, hallelujah too. We just have to keep on going. But the greatest of Christians are not going to be spared death. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, to judgment. I've lived long enough to watch some of my great heroes that I loved, and they had a great impact on my life, watch them die. I went to Lee Robertson's funeral, Brother Phipps, Brother Gordon. What a great man of God he was. He's one of my heroes. But he died. I never forget walking up to that casket and looking at Lee Robertson in that casket, and I thought, it's not right. This is not right. It's impossible. It just doesn't seem right. Here's this great saint of God. But there were his remains, but he was with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Friend Jerry Falwell and I were friends for many years. And he helped me out in the early days of my ministry. I didn't always agree with some of the things, positions he took later in his ministry, but he was a blessing to me. He died last year. And I could go on and on and name some. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter who they are. They're going to die. Amen. But thank God we know the outcome of that. And here's the last thought, very quickly. The worst or best Christian, the worst or best Christian will not be spared the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And I don't have to say any more about that, I hope. We are going to stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Amen. And give an account. I don't think it's going to necessarily be an all bad experience. Hopefully it's more about rewards, but there will be some loss. And if a Christian thinks they can live a carnal life and a halfway life and a run around as a lukewarm 50% Christian and stand at the judgment seat of Christ and be awarded like others who have been sold out and yielded and dedicated and set apart to God's glory, friend, you're dead wrong. That's why everybody ought to get with it. Let's stand, please. There are some things that Christians must experience. Temptation, what do you do with it? Doubt, how do you handle it? Even if it happens. Chastening hand of God because he loves you. He's trying to get you right with him. Spared sorrow. No, we're all going to have sorrow. Do you thank God for your sorrow? Or do you question God? We're going to be persecuted. Is anybody persecuting you? Not. Maybe a problem. Whatever the need. Father, bless. Thank you for your word. It's so powerful. Oh, it's so powerful. And I pray now you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you, dear God, for what you're saying to us right now. May we respond accordingly. We'll give you the praise for the results, praise for what you want to do in our hearts tonight. Help us to think about these things, expect certain things, and know how to deal with it. Know how to give you praise no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you come?